still on the throne tonight. Amen. Co-regent with the Heavenly Father. I rejoice in that tonight. And to be seated at the right hand of the Lord is equality with God. He said, gave him the place of honor. And while he still has an earthly throne to ascend, he's reigning, co-reigning with the Father in heaven over our universe. And aren't you glad that we have a great God whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, you can talk about God all you want to. And it really doesn't offend anybody because they didn't really know what God you're talking about. But the moment you say the name Jesus, things change. And I tell you what, that's the name that's above every name, isn't it? Boy, what a wonderful, sweet, precious, holy name that He has. And boy, I'm sure glad to name His name. What about you tonight? 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. Find your place there. You say, preacher, I know where you're going. Well, there's like Christmas and Easter. There's only so many messages on Thanksgiving and Christmas. And so somewhere down the line, you're going to find my name in a date that I preached that text. Okay? And so you just can't help it. It's just going to happen. I've been here 10 years as the pastor, 12 total, 12 years, 10 years come March. And so 10 times at least I preach the Thanksgiving message. All right? At least 10 times, probably more than that. So chances are I'm going to deal with the text, okay? And probably if I'm here another 20 years, and I pray am, I'll preach on the virgin birth probably at least 5 or 10 more times, okay? And so as we deal with these things of Thanksgiving. But I want to look at 3 verses tonight that I believe are the keys to a happy life. Now, when I say happy, I want you to understand I'm not talking about what the world's talking about, all right? There is a heavenly happiness. You will find it in the Bible. It's not in our text, but you'll find it in the Bible. It's the word blessed. The Bible time and time and time again will say, blessed is the man. Blessed is the individual, the man, the woman, the teenager, the boy, the girl. And that word blessed is actually a plural. It means all the blessednesses. And it speaks of a heavenly happiness that's in the heart and the life of the child of God that cannot be duplicated by the world. You can't duplicate it. You can't manufacture it. It's something that God has placed on the inside of us. And you know what we do? We have to let it out. Amen? And I believe there's 3 areas tonight that I believe are essential to allowing the heavenly happiness of God to flow out of our lives and into the lives of other people. Now, let me just say this, and I want to be careful how I say it. All right? Usually, our Christianity doesn't impress people when we're on the mountaintop. Okay? When everything's going good, and boy, we're on the mountaintop, it doesn't always impress people, alright? And what I mean by that, they don't really see any difference, okay? But it's when you hurt, and when you struggle, and when you go through difficulty, and when hardship comes to our lives, and the reality of Christ begins to shine through us, that people become impressed with what we have. By the way, that's why the Philippian jailer got saved. He wasn't impressed with Paul on the front end, but I'm going to tell you what, there was some quaking and there was some working going on in his heart on the back end because of the praises that were taking place in that jailhouse. Amen? And so we find that there's times that our lives are turned upside down rather than right side up, and things aren't going our way, and we have difficulty and hardship, and there's where our shoe leather Christianity makes a difference. I'm going to give you 3 areas tonight that it doesn't matter what you're going through, what you're facing, or what you're experiencing in your life, when you begin to practice these 3 particular areas of the Christian life, I'm going to tell you things will be different, and people are going to notice the difference in your life, and not only will you be different, not only will you be victorious, but it flows out in the lives of other people. All right, let's look at them, beginning in verse number 16. There are 3 commands. Verse number 16, rejoice evermore. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Now, there are all kinds of commandments right here, but here's 3 that I believe if we'll practice them, God's going to use it not only in our lives, but the lives of others. It will be a pathway to the blessing of God. It will be a pathway to God's heavenly happiness flowing out of our lives. I'm going to give them to you tonight. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the good service. Thank you, Lord, for answered prayer. Thank you for your faithfulness. God, tonight, just another reminder of the reality of our God. That, Lord, you're real tonight. You're at work in people's lives. You've been faithful and good, and Lord, we thank you for it. God, I think of Tracy tonight that's with you. Lord, she asked me before she left this world, she said, Pastor, would you have somebody go across the stage with a cardboard testimony, just letting them know I won the victory? God, she, from human perspective, she didn't win the victory. But yet, God, from a heavenly perspective, she's the most victorious of all. And God, I pray you'll bless us tonight, you'll help us, and Lord, that we learn of you from your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want you to notice very quickly as we talk about this subject on keys to a happy life, there needs to be a joyful heart. If you're going to be the kind of Christian that God wants you to be, if our lives are going to impact others, if you want God's blessing and heavenly happiness to flow through your life, then you're going to have to determine to be a joyful Christian. Look at verse number 16. Rejoice evermore. Now that phrase is in the present tense. God said, I'm to rejoice and keep on rejoicing. God said, I want you to always be a rejoicing Christian. Now, preacher, you say, wait a minute, I don't feel like rejoicing. I don't really, in my heart, I don't feel happiness. I don't feel joy. But you know what? God's going to let you know something, that joy is both a possession, but it is also a practice in the Christian life. God said that you already have joy. If you're a Christian tonight, you have His joy. It is the birthright of every child of God. And you're going to find that over 250 times in the Bible, God tells us that we are to rejoice and we're to be joyful. And we're to, as I said on Sunday night and I was preaching through Psalm 100, we're to come into His presence with singing. And as I said earlier, the truth is we don't always feel like rejoicing. But the good news is not joy is not something I get. I don't need to be looking for joy way out here, because guess what? If you're saved tonight, you already have it in here. And we need to recognize that and believe that tonight. And you know what we need to do is we need to let God's joy out. Jesus said, these things have I written unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. And friend, listen, we can't talk about joy tonight unless we talk about the source of joy. And you're going to find the connection in the Bible is His joy and our joy. And friend, Christian joy is Christ's joy in us. And the moment we get saved, He gives us His joy. Joy, it's our birthright. And you know what? God said, I've given you my joy, now I want you to rejoice. I want you to rejoice. It is a possession, but it's also a practice. Galatians 5:22, the Bible says that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Listen, after love comes joy. And friend, listen, let me just tell you something. When you and I as a Christian are filled with the Spirit of God, we're in tune with Him, can I tell you that His joy can flow out of our lives into the lives of other people. And joy is what we have, and rejoicing is what we're to do. And you know what? The Bible said that we're to be making melody in our heart to the Lord. You know what? I don't just want to sing on Sunday. I want to sing on Monday. What about you? And you say, well, preacher, you just don't understand. I'm not auditioning for the choir. Neither am I. But you know what? It doesn't matter how I sound. Listen, the Bible said make a joyful noise. Amen. And everybody make a noise, whether you carry a tune or not. And you know what? It's okay just to make a noise to the Lord out of your heart and just sing to Him. I remember going through a very difficult time in my own personal life as a young Christian, and I would sing a song over and over and over again. You're going to say, oh, preacher, that's so silly. And it might be. But I would sing this, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And I would sing it over and over and over again, because you know, at that moment in my life, I needed to remind myself that Jesus loves me. And you know what? 33 years later, as a Christian, I still love to sing what people would think is a children's song, but I think it's a good Christian song, don't you? That He loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I don't always feel like He loves me, and I don't always feel His love, but friend, listen, God's told me that He loves me. And so when I begin singing about the love of God and the goodness of God and the blessing of God and how great He is, guess what? It's not long till joy begins to flow out of my heart. And you know what you need to do is you need to be singing unto the Lord. Now, you know what? Two words that I believe are a paradox. They really seem like that they're paradoxes. They don't go together, but they really do. And you say, preacher, what's that? That's joy and tears. Let me give you a couple verses real quickly. 2 Corinthians 6:10, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing. Romans 5:3, we glory. That word glory is a word of rejoicing, of joy and triumph. We glory in tribulation also. 1 Peter 4:4, if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. In Christian joy, listen to me, how wonderful it is. It is the constant companion of the child of God, even when there seems to be no cause of rejoicing. And so, I like what somebody said, the next time trouble comes your way, be like the teapot when it's neck deep in hot water, it sings. And friend, listen, when you're neck deep in hot water, just sing and let His joy come out. Because when you do that, guess what? You move into the realm of a heavenly happiness. And so I have to believe it. God, You've given me joy, and so now I'm going to let it out. And it's amazing what praising can do in the life of a child of God. Then number two, I want you to get this one very quickly tonight. Have a prayerful attitude. Look what he says, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Wow. Now, preacher, does that mean I'm to stay on my knees with my hands folded and eyes closed 24 hours a day? That's not... Thank you. Amen. I've got somebody that's listening tonight. Praise the Lord. All right? Good. I like that. It helps me out a little bit. Now, anyway. All right? No, that's not what it means. But you know what it does mean? That I'm to be in a constant attitude of prayer. All right, that word ceasing comes from a word which means to cough. It speaks of a chronic cough. And you know what? We're in November, in the fall, and allergy, you know, the fall allergies, and then all the change and all of that, and people stopped up and coughing and all these things going on and everything. And so you know what we're doing? And you'll hear it through the choir, through the church. It's a recurring thing. And you know what God said? It's the idea, listen, a constantly recurring prayer. It's the idea of a constant attitude of prayer that is birthed by a continual dependence upon God. Can I say that again? That praying without ceasing is the idea of a constant attitude of prayer that is birthed by a continual dependence upon God. Friend, I need Him. You need Him. I don't just need Him in the valley. I need Him in the mountaintop. I need Him every day, every minute. Friend, we need God. And the idea is that we're to be in tune with Him and in fellowship with Him so that I can be in an attitude of prayer. You know, now that's not some kind sort of the idea of a holy disposition. Where I walk around, and I'm just in the clouds. And I'm going to fall over on the platform from doing that little stunt. It's not what it's me. You know, by the way, that's just a little bit of Phariseeism. You're really just praying to yourself right then. Okay? What it is just living through the routine of life in tune with God and dependent upon Him and knowing that at any moment that we can call on His name. Because you can. I like what somebody said. We're to keep the receiver off the hook and be in touch with God so that our praying is part of a long conversation that is never broken. You know, when I lose my keys, God knows where they're at. When I lose my cell phone, how many know what I'm talking about? And I've got it on vibrate. Now, you know what? There's some benefit to having certain kinds of phones because they'll, you know, find themselves. And I need that. But you know what? I lose something. I'm saying, God, I really need You to help me to find that. Or, Lord, I really need You to help me here. Or, you know, I tell people all the time, God can help you do your job better than you can. He can. And you know what? When I'm on the job or you're on the job, be praying, God, help me get this together to fix it. Just a continual dependence upon Him. Now, you know, when I talk about the receiver off the hook, I have to explain that because some of us are old enough to remember that a phone actually rested upon a hook. And you had to pull it off and put it to your ear. You know, nowadays, you know, we've got it all. I was a kid, man. Brother Harper, you remember. We as kids, run around in the yard after Star Trek talking to your wrist. Who would have dreamed the day people would walk around, hello? I'm like, okay, beam me up, I'm ready. You know what I'm saying? Who would ever dream that stuff? And so, you know, we talk about keeping the... You know, it's just simply keeping the communication line open with our God. And here's the good news is, whenever you call on God, you'll never get a busy signal. You say, preacher, I don't feel Him. Friend, let me just tell you something. I don't always feel Him either. There's times like there's times that it seems like the clouds are dark, and you feel like that you're just talking to the air. Friend, there's where faith comes in. And you know that there's a God who says, call unto me, and I'll answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And friend, when you can't feel Him, you can trust Him, and you just need to keep on praying, because there's a God who's hearing, and He can answer your prayer. Amen? That's why the Bible said men ought always to pray and not faint. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching too with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. E.M. Bounds said, prayer is the pulse of the spiritual life. Prayer keeps us connected, committed, and consecrated in our spiritual lives. It keeps us close to God. And now I'm going to give you the third one. You know what prayer does? When I am connected to God, and you know what God hears, and He answers prayer, you know what? There's a heavenly happiness that flows. Isn't that right? Because I'm connected to Him. I'm close to Him. And so, you want heavenly happiness, then have a joyful heart. And then the next one is have a prayerful attitude. Be prayerful. And then here's the last. I want you to get it tonight. Be thankful. Notice verse 18. In everything, give thanks. There it is. I mentioned this on Sunday night when I was preaching out of Psalm 100. That G.K. Chesterton made this statement. He said, thankfulness is the mother of all virtues. Now, that's just from his perspective. But I tell you what, it sounded pretty good, didn't it? I think thankfulness ought to characterize the life of a child of God. We live in such an unthankful society. God said one of the characteristics of the last days were people were unthankful. Do you know in Romans 1, when it talks about the people that left God and God gave them over to reprobate mind, it begins to talk about people that have rejected God. Do you know what He said? He said that when they knew God, all right, that means that there was a knowledge, there was light, there was a knowledge of God. Okay, they didn't like to retain Him in their thoughts, in their knowledge. And watch this next phrase: neither were thankful. They wasn't thankful there was a God. And I'm just here to tell you tonight: thanklessness may be a greater sin than we ever realize, because it helped people down the path of greater darkness into idolatry. And friend, I'm going to tell you something. One of the things that you and I need to do tonight is we need to maintain a thankful heart. God did not say to be thankful for everything, but in everything. There's always, in every situation, every circumstance, something to thank Him for. We need to live in a spirit of gratitude to God. Ephesians 5:20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13:15, by Him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks unto His name. Simply put, God wants me and He wants you to be thankful unto Him. Isn't that true? There were 9 men that missed Thanksgiving. Now, you want, one of the things I don't want to miss is I don't want to miss Thanksgiving. You say, why is that? Because I like to eat. I like family time, and I like to eat. And the Lord healed 10 lepers. But out of that 10, they all cried out for mercy, but only one cried out in thankfulness. And you know what the Lord said? Where are the 9? I wonder how often we're like that 9. That we miss the thanksgiving that we ought to give to God. I'm going to give you 3 areas and I'm going to be done tonight. How about being thankful for His providence? You say, preacher, what's providence? That is the unseen hand of God at work in your life. Now, I'm slowing down on purpose. Okay? The unseen hand of God in your life. You know what? Somebody was dropping handfuls of purpose for Ruth, and his name was Boaz. I'm grateful for the God of heaven that dropped handfuls of purpose that brought me to Jesus Christ, that brought me to Himself. Friend, you know what? There was handfuls of purpose dropped in your life to draw you to Him. Sure was. Just here God would drop something, there God would drop something. We may not even been aware of it. It may still not be completely aware. But God orchestrating and working in the providence of bringing people into our lives that would bring us into contact with Him, that we might know Him and love Him and worship Him, have a relationship with Him by faith through Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, there may be some folks here tonight, someone here tonight, God's dropping some handfuls of purpose. He's using some of His people to be a blessing to you so that you can come to know Him. And He wants you to know Him tonight. Matter of fact, can I tell you, we ought to be thankful that He died for us. Amen. That He paid for our sins. All of them. Paid for them in full. Past, present, future. He bore our sins in His own body on the tree. The just for the unjust. That He might bring us to God. He was buried, the Bible said, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead and said, "Whosoever will, let him come to Me and be saved." By faith, by believing. Faith is the hand that receives the gift of God's salvation. "Nothing in My hand I bring, simply to Thy cross I cling." Friend, can I tell you, there's no other way but through Christ. And you know what? God's providence is still at work in your life. And there's an unseen hand at work in your life, guiding and orchestrating and working to bring about His desired purpose in His life. And listen, maybe tonight you need to bow on your knees and say, "God, thank You for Your providence, the unseen hand that's at work in my life, that's guiding and orchestrating and working, that God, that You're at work in my life." How about number two? I want to give you this. And how about His provision? His provision. Now, we talked about God providing His Son and His salvation. But, you know, God continues to provide, doesn't He? And meet needs tonight. And care for His people. And truth is, God's cared for you tonight, hasn't He? Isn't that true? Now, we may not have all we want. But we sure have enough, don't we? Isn't that true? We have enough. And sometimes God wants us to be thankful for enough. You ever think that maybe sometimes God whittles us down just a little bit so that that we don't get dissatisfied for the more, so to speak, and get thankful for what is enough? Isn't that good? And we're always going to have enough. And God's going to meet the need. And God's going to provide. And God's going to care. And we need to believe Him. And we ought to thank Him tonight for the providing hand of God. Oh, what a blessing He is. And then here's the last one, and I'm going to be done. His protection. You know what? I can't say enough times as we think about it how often God protects us. Now, you know what? Sometimes God may be protecting me and I get mad. Now, you say, "Preacher, what are you talking about?" Now, don't you get sanctimonious on me tonight. Because you have too. You ever thought that God might let a light change to keep you from an accident down the road? And about the last thing I wanted, I'm going to tell you, if there's a stretch of road that drives me insane, and I drive it all the time, it's University Parkway down toward the mall. I mean, listen, I'll be the one every stoplight. Boom, boom, boom. And I'm on the way to the doctor. And I need to get there. And I hate to wait. You know what I'm saying? Or leave it this way. And I try to think, now, Lord, one day I'm going to be 100 years old. I know that. And I'm going to move a little slow. But you ever notice how you'll have one in this lane in front of you and one right beside of you? I mean, and you want to go, but you can't. Now, y'all look at me like I'm bad. All right, and I'm going to just tell you something. It ain't always people that are older that are moving slow. All right, now my granddaddy, he was 80-some years old. He drove like he's on a racetrack all the time. That's why when I was in his car, I drove. He wanted to test his brakes out, okay? And he'd say this. He'd say, "Well, if they don't have brakes, I'll not be on the road." And I'm saying, "I know it, but we don't want to wear them out, Paw-Paw." You know, that's what I'd say to him. Have you ever thought about how God's protected you tonight? Kept you from things. And maybe you were angry. Maybe you were upset. Maybe it wasn't turning out like you wanted it to. But yet God was at work. I remember reading a story of General Patton, and I'm not saying that General Patton was a Christian, okay? I'm not. Matter of fact, he made the statement during the Battle of the Bulge. He wrote a prayer, and by the way, that prayer was published. It's a pretty powerful little prayer that he had published. If you never read it, you ought to read it. All right, and he published to the entire army to pray. And it was snowing, and he couldn't move his tanks. And it was snowing, he couldn't fly his planes. And he said, "God, I'm just wondering on whose side You're on." He had his whole army praying. He was praying and all of that. And I'm not telling you he was a righteous man, okay? I'm not saying that. But I'm glad God answered some prayers that night. But then he said this. He said, "You know, God, if my tanks can't go, their tanks can't go. And if my planes can't fly, then their planes can't fly. And God, you might just be bogging them down so that we can win this battle. And that man, that was probably a pretty crude and blasphemous kind of guy at times, told God he was sorry. Now, I'm not sitting here telling you that General Patton knew God. I have no idea, okay? Because I'm sure that he probably, his language wasn't the best in the world. And how he lived wasn't the best. So I'm not trying to say that. So don't go out of here and say that I said he was a Christian. I don't know. All right? I have no idea, but I know he believed in God. All right? Here's what I'm trying to say. That if a general that probably didn't know God recognized that when things wasn't going the way he wanted it to, that maybe God was at work, how much more should we who name his name? Because you ever thought about this? God, whose side you on? God, are you on my side? God, have you forgot about me? Hey, over here. He knows where you are tonight. He's on your side. And if he's for you, nothing and no one can be against you. How many of us believe that promise tonight? Amen. And maybe tonight, you just need to slip forward and say, God, I haven't been as joyful as I need to be. I hadn't been rejoicing in you. And maybe you need to slip forward tonight and say, God, I haven't been prayerful like I ought to be. And God, I haven't been thankful enough. And tonight, I want your forgiveness and help me to be joyful, prayerful, and thankful that God's happiness might flow into your life. Amen. Let's bow our heads.